Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back in Tuesday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski back in our studios once again today. Danny Duffy was our first guest of the Royals' five-year reunion. Love the catch-up with Duffy, and we maybe have
it was
some
wonderful
to go back and watch again.
really told him a lot of things that maybe he didn't know about.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, along the way, there are some things we found out and some things that we thought we all knew that maybe some Royals missed out on.
Right.
So those are part of the fun interviews we're going to be doing with the Royals moving forward this month, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30 for the Royals' five-year reunion. We'll look back at the 2015 season. 2020 season, we'll see. Now the league's looking at the possibility of a 50-game schedule with full prorated salaries that would start in July. ESPN's report says the plan would be considered a last resort in the event the parties cannot come to an agreement. So the players offered 114. The owners have a worst-case scenario plan of 50. And even you, Bob, not sports mathy, came up with the 114 minus 32 or 50 plus 32 ends up at
82. Yes, we got the number.
The meet in the middle is where we all started we were thinking about resuming baseball.
It really is. I mean, I saw this yesterday, and like I was talking about earlier, I had my eyes dilated yesterday, so everything was a little foggy for the most part of the day yesterday. But I saw this number come out of 50 that Major League Baseball is like proposing for a last-ditch effort if they can't, you know, decide on a number of anything. Major League Baseball, according to the March agreement, which now they're going back to the March agreement. It's like nobody read the March agreement, and now somebody's lawyer went back through the March agreement and goes, well, it kind of says right here, you get to pick the number of games, commissioner. And so the commissioner said, if we can't come to a resolution by whatever mythical date we now have in mind for Major League Baseball, he's allowed to go out there and set a date when – or not set a date, but set a number of games that Major League Baseball will play this season. And he claims that number is going to be 50. Well, Major League Baseball wants 114. Major League Baseball players, I should say, want 114. Their number came out over the weekend at 114. So what the commissioner did was a little bit of math. Went, all right, 82 is where we want to get. 114 minus 82 on the iPhone equals 32. Okay, what's 82 minus 32? That gives us 50. That's the number we'll suggest. So we come back to the middle. And I saw that yesterday. I'm like, God, could you be any more transparent with what you're trying to do here? And that's get to the original number that you started at, which was an 82-game season where you would play 82 games, and that seemed to satisfy everybody involved. But Major League Baseball likes to do things bickering-wise. It reminded me of an episode of Seinfeld years ago. Kramer and Morty Seinfeld went into business together selling the beltless trench coat. Morty, of course, invented the beltless trench coat. Mm-hmm. It was called the Executive, right? And Kramer found out years later there was a market for it at the secondhand store, and Kramer wanted to be paid. And he and Morty had this initial discussion about compensation.
I'll take care of everything.
You got a deal.
So 25% is what he wanted to say. You got a deal. And then something went wrong, and Kramer wanted more money.
I've been thinking about something.
Yeah, so have I.
I don't think the deal is fair.
You don't think it's fair?
No. I found the place. I set the whole thing up. I'm doing all the legwork.
What legwork?
Oh, there's legwork.
If anything, you're getting too much.
Too much?
That's right. They're my coats.
Okay, look, I want 35%.
I'm thinking more like 15.
No way I've taken 15.
Well, you're not getting 35.
All right, let's compromise. 25%.
Okay, it's a deal.
So that's Major League Baseball and the players right now arguing over something where they're eventually going to come back to where they all started. This is the executive argument taking place in real life. Kramer and Morty Seinfeld arguing about compensation for a beltless trench coat in the 90s is taking place right before our eyes. Kramer, that's the player side. Morty, that's Major League Baseball. That's the owners. They're coming together, and they're going back to where we started this thing at, which was 82, and that will be the logical number. And instead of dragging their fans through all of this for the last couple of weeks, the kicking and screaming, the way that they've been handling things, the way that they've been acting like they don't have a clue as to what's going on in the United States of America, fighting over the amount of games and amount of money and being totally tone-deaf with everything, we're back to where we started at 82. Because Major League Baseball isn't playing 50 games, and they know they're not going to play 114. So you meet in the middle, and you have 82, which is where we were in March!
J.J. Cooper of Baseball America on the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio says baseball, well, they may need a deadline.
There's no real clear red line. There's no date, and if we get past that date, then all of a sudden everything kind of falls apart. I mean, right now, everyone talks about they have this goal of, hey, we want to have baseball back, you know, regular season games going by July 4th. But if we're talking 2 weeks from now and there's still no agreement, then there's no reason that the two sides have broken off talks and said, oh, there's no hope. There's just this kind of, there's not that pressure point that you kind of sometimes may need to get to an agreement. Both sides can kind of stare at each other for a while longer right now and kind of say, no, we're not budging, and neither side really feels the impetus that they have to budge yet.
I mean, baseball hasn't really come out and said, feasibly, in order for us to end at this date,
right,
playing a full postseason, we need to start at this date. Or, like, what does 50 games mean? If you're going to start 50 games in July, are you starting your playoffs early? What is your saying? Are you going to be done sooner?
So you'll be done by, like, August 15th in time for the Pinewood Derby.
Because 50 doesn't get you very far really, if
right.
you start in July, right?
Right. It gets you July and half of August.
So are you starting your playoffs early?
You're adding more teams to the playoffs? How's that a moneymaker?
Do you want to stop at a certain point because, one, you believe that there could be a flare-up of coronavirus, or, two, it's getting cold in cold weather cities,
right.
It's going to be too cold to play postseason baseball. Where is the deadline? And I think when we know that, we can probably figure out when they're going to decide whether or not they're going to have it or not.
Well, and I think if you want to start July 1st and have baseball games on the 4th of July this year to celebrate America, you need to get your acting gear beginning next week. I mean, baseball players clearly need that 3-week lead up, you know, to use, you know, stretching rubber bands and taking dry swings and, you know, some infield ground balls and things like that, or whatever it is that they do for 17 weeks in spring training to get ready for a baseball season. They need to get that going right about now, and they need to continue to get back to work and open the floodgates to let, you know, the players back in so they can get ready for a season that they want to start on July 1st. And so I think if you still look at that June 30th, July 1st date, as the Players Association did last week when they released their plan, if that's still a date that you're considering, then you need to find a way to have a deadline, Josh, I think at the end of the week. And if that's the date that you're targeting, then the end of the week has to be a deadline for Major League Baseball. Until you put in that deadline and say, we're going to decide, we got to move by this date, then you're going to continue to have bickering back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. A deadline helps everybody get things done in all walks of life, regardless of what it is. There's going to be a deadline for something. You either meet that deadline or you don't, and everybody carries on. I think a deadline would be good for Major League Baseball and the Players Association, especially if they want to start in July.
The Chiefs are bringing a lot of people back, but won't have a Hall of Famer next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
There's been plenty of cases where we've been band-aiding what has been going on. And when you look at it decade after decade after decade, you know, these racist events have occurred. There have been band-aids pulled over. But now we're here in new millennium, 2020, you could say, and that band-aid has been pulled off. And you see what it really is for those who have blinders on and don't really want to see, you know, what it is to go through life in America as a black man. You see what it is.
Josh Norman of the Buffalo Bills on NFL Network discussing the injustices in America and what he's seeing right now with the protesting going on all over the United States of America. One of a number of athletes speaking out, using their platform as well to speak out right now, and maybe with more openness to do so as well, especially in the NFL.
Well, no doubt, especially, yeah. You got a platform right now, and you're able to use that platform. I think it's important to absolutely 100% use that platform and let people know how folks are feeling, and let people know, you know, how other people are treated, and let people know that we're not going to take it anymore. And I do. I say we. I may be, you know, a white guy sitting out in Overland Park, Kansas, but I understand the inequities that are out there. I totally understand that it is not easy at times to be an African-American in the United States of America when it comes to having to deal with some of the law enforcement stuff that we've seen with police brutality and whatnot. And that has to end. I mean, we cannot continue in this country to have people targeted because of the color of their skin. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, I just don't get that. Like, I just never understood why people get targeted because of the color of their skin. It's not right. It just doesn't make sense, and it's got to change. And the only way we can change it is collective we get involved and make sure we do change it and educate our children that this is not the right way to act, that it's not okay to judge somebody by the color of their skin or treat somebody differently because of the color of their skin. I mean, we all have to take ownership in the United States in order for this to become a better country and for us to move forward as a nation.
This from Derek Johnson, the former Chiefs linebacker, tweeted this out this morning. Man, I really miss the locker room. It's a beautiful sight to see different race and backgrounds come together for one common goal. But at the end of the day, some people have a heart problem, not a race problem. God made us all different for a reason, so we could choose to love and understand someone that doesn't look like us. That from Derek Johnson, Chiefs
yep.
linebacker. I thought pretty well said by him. The Chiefs are bringing a lot of people back for this upcoming season, right?
They are. A lot of guys.
They're not bringing back at least one Hall of Famer, and maybe two. We're not talking about Terrell Suggs, who I think will go to the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But think about that. The Chiefs are coming back next season off of Super Bowl. Two potential Hall of Famers are not coming back. Terrell Suggs, which I think is going to get in, and then a guy who's got a shot is one LeSean McCoy, who says he's, in fact, not done. On an Instagram post, he thanked a lot of people that have helped him over his first 11 NFL seasons, but concluded by saying, HOF on the way when I say I'm done. So he's looking to come back this upcoming season. Won't be with the Chiefs. Certainly didn't give, if you just watch LeSean McCoy as a Chief, that's kind of like watching Darrell Revis as a Chief.
Correct.
Or Ty Law as a Chief. Boy,
all the guys that Ryan wanted on his team.
We can name a bunch of guys that came at the end of their
career.
All
these career, future right? Hall of Famers, yeah.
All these guys that came at the end of their career, and you're like, I don't get it. Well, Shady McCoy's got a chance. He's over 11,000 career rushing yards. He's in a He's in a tier that's been getting, like, Edgerrin James was like a real big comparison. He's now going to be a 2020 member of the Hall of Fame. What do you think? Does Shady get in?
Well, I don't know. I'm beginning to think the Chiefs are better off by not having this guy around. Very much about himself. I don't necessarily believe that LeSean McCoy is a Hall of Famer. Do you consider him one of the best 22 running backs that's ever played in the National Football League? I personally don't. You know how we judge it, Josh. We'd say the name, and if Hall of Famer jumps out, it jumps out.
How many are in the Hall of Fame running back-wise, 22?
I think 22 is what I saw, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know that he's one of the best, let's say, 25 running backs that have ever played the game. The guys that, you know, that we need to be talking about getting into the Hall of Fame is a guy like Priest Holmes. And Priest Holmes' biggest downfall, obviously, he didn't have an elongated career in the National Football League, but neither did Terrell Davis. And when you look at the numbers that Priest Holmes put up, that's a guy who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because his numbers that he put up are on par with Hall of Famers. Priest Holmes got you 4.6 yards per carry. That's the same amount as Terrell Davis and more than Marshall Faulk got. When you look at average yards per catch, Priest Holmes at 8.7 yards per catch. Only Marshall Faulk is ahead of him, and he's got over a yard more per reception than Terrell Davis and LaDainian Tomlinson does. When you look at touchdowns, Priest Holmes started 82 games, has 86 touchdowns, over a touchdown per game. Nobody right now in the Hall of Fame has over a touchdown per game average like Priest Holmes. LaDainian Tomlinson, Terrell Davis, Marshall Faulk, no. They don't fall into that category. Priest Holmes has 27 touchdowns in one season, only topped by Sean Alexander and LaDainian Tomlinson. He has more touchdowns in a season than Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk and Emmitt Smith. In fact, Priest Holmes has two of the six highest totals in touchdowns for one season, where he got 24 touchdowns back in 2002 and then 27 in 2003. Priest Holmes, when it comes to points scored in a season, is one of the top six in points scored in the season. Only LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Alexander scored more points in a single season from a running back standpoint than Priest Holmes did. All kickers with higher numbers than Priest Holmes. And when you look at consecutive games, the dude scored a touchdown in 11 consecutive games back in 2002. Only John Riggins and LaDainian Tomlinson scored in more consecutive games than Priest Holmes. And so I think ultimately when you're looking at Hall of Fame numbers, Priest Holmes is up there with current Hall of Famers when it comes to his numbers and records that he set.
I think
it's the shorter time in the injuries as well,
right?
I think that are really going to be.
But Terrell Davis didn't play a long time.
Do you consider Calvin Johnson a Hall of Famer?
I would probably say yes, but I don't know enough about Calvin Johnson.
If you're going to sit here and make a case for Priest Holmes, Calvin Johnson is absolutely a Hall of Famer. And look, I get it. Like, there's three things that are going against Priest Holmes. Number one is the fact that he had a short career. Number two is the fact that he played behind an all-time great offensive line, like Hall of Fame, like three of the five are already in the Hall of Fame, and you could make a case for a fourth on that offensive line. So that's not boding well against him. And also,
so you're going to hold his teammates against him? I mean,
no,
I'm
not.
Pretty good.
But what I'm saying is that's working against what he has to go off about. I mean, Larry Johnson had some really great years behind that Chiefs offensive line as well. I don't think Larry Johnson is a Hall of Famer. Also, I think the fact that you don't have hardware, like Priest Holmes doesn't have the hardware. If you want to compare him to Terrell Davis, Terrell Davis has two Super Bowl rings. He also had a pretty damn good offensive line, but those two Super Bowl rings are a huge benefit to him. But when you say you don't think LeSean McCoy is a Hall of Famer, man, that's borderline crazy talk, and only because you look at who is already in there. By the way, 28 running backs in the modern day. 28
you think LeSean McCoy is one of the best 30 running backs in the history of the NFL?
If Edgerrin James is, then he absolutely is.
If Priest Holmes is, he absolutely is too.
I mean, like, if we're just going to base it off of those.
The same camp where it's going to be close.
Yeah, Priest Holmes
has less yards total. Close.
Priest Holmes has less total yards, less receiving yards, less touchdowns, like all of those things. Maybe not touchdowns. I might have to double check on that. But I know for a fact receiving yards and rushing yards. So just cumulatively speaking, like all the numbers you gave out, sure, they're great average numbers. Had he done that over the course of a longer career, then you would be in that 11,000-yard rushing range, which is where a lot of these Hall of Famers land at, man. So like,
But you know, Terrell Davis is the one that really, to me, he's in the Hall of Fame because of team success, okay? Because he didn't have a long career either in the National Football
League. He also had a 2,000-yard rushing season.
So did Priest Holmes, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
and he has two Super Bowl rings, something Priest Holmes does not have.
Right, but why are we just like, do rings now matter?
Priest Holmes ran a 2,000-yard rushing
season. Yes, he did. Absolutely. With the Baltimore Ravens, I'm sorry, total yards, 2,000.
I mean, John Elway is, he doesn't get those rings had Terrell Davis not been there. TD is what set that team over the top.
But I don't, do you judge Hall of Famers based on rings now? I know we do with
quarterbacks. Yes, that's what they've always done. Yes.
Really? They always have done that, huh?
Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame. It's questioned because he doesn't have a ring. Dan Marino, his statistical numbers are enough to get him there. But Dan Fouts is one of those guys that people scratch their heads and go, how is Dan Fouts a Hall of Famer? He doesn't even have a ring. So, yeah, it's
Dan
Fouts
was
that way.
Dan Fouts was a generational quarterback, though, man. He came in an offense at the time that hadn't been seen before in
the
National Football
League.
He did amazing things.
It was one of
They did amazing things. You're right. Doesn't have a ring. But, I think we obviously have put so much emphasis on the rings when it comes to determining who the greatest of all time is at the quarterback position, or maybe, in sports because you factor Jordan into that mix as well. But if you put up great numbers but you're not on a very good team, that shouldn't hold you back from getting into the Hall of Fame.
I think running back's tough because they don't immediately slide off the tongue like so-and-so Hall of Famer, especially at that position now.
Yeah, now it's going to be harder to get into the Hall of Fame as a running back. Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are going to be less and less, right?
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Too many 2,000-yard rushing seasons anymore?
No.
1,600-yard rushing seasons? Those types of things? I think, hey, and if you're Shady McCoy, especially, and Priest, whoever, you got to make the case yourself.
Well, you do. And you know how hard it is to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, too, Josh.
You got to make the case yourself because it's harder and harder for someone else to do it for you. He missed it all, or most of it. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
One of the cool college football kickoff games is still going to happen, but not quite the same, but still pretty cool.
Still pretty cool, though. Yeah, the backup plan is still pretty cool.
The backup plan's nice. I like this. So it was going to be August 29th. Notre Dame was going to take on Navy in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, I remember Notre Dame playing over there a couple of years ago. Now it's probably about a decade ago. But I remember watching Notre Dame playing in Ireland.
The grass was really green. Which would have been cool. That's an early game. That's pretty cool.
Were they going to get that leprechaun whisperer guy out to do it?
He was there. He was doing the coin toss.
So because of the coronavirus pandemic, they have moved this game out of Dublin after what they called extensive consultation with the Irish government, medical authorities, and both schools. They've decided they're not going to play in Dublin, which you're like, oh. But they're going to play in Annapolis, Maryland, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Most likely on Labor Day weekend.
Okay, cool.
I know, given the choice between a trip to Dublin, Ireland, or Annapolis, Maryland, it's essentially the same thing.
Well, Annapolis is one of the most beautiful places on earth, and Notre Dame has never played there at all. And so I think that's a pretty cool kind of backup.
The first time Notre Dame visits Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in the 94-year span of the rivalry.
Yeah, they played forever
and
a day.
Each prior meeting hosted by Navy was played at a neutral site.
Right, whether it be at the Meadowlands
or
the
Baltimore
Stadium. They're
playing in their home stadium for the first time ever. That's pretty cool.
And they've played for 94 years. So every time Navy has hosted the game, they realize, well, it's Notre Dame. We can make more money playing in a bigger stadium. So let's move this thing to Baltimore. Let's play this thing at the Meadowlands. Let's play this thing in Philadelphia. Let's play this thing in Dublin. They always have moved that game around. Notre Dame is such a big draw, and if you have a smaller college campus, you want to take that game, to someplace else, and you're free to do that when you have home games in college. You can play games wherever you want to play them. Most choose campus. But when you have Notre Dame coming in like that, it's cool to kind of move that game to a different location and get – the bigger stadium, get more people in there because of the Notre Dame following. So I think it really is cool for the first time. If you've never been to a game at a service academy before, I think it should be on your kind of your sports bucket list. I mean, I think they're incredible. We used to go to West Point when I was a kid. I've been to a couple of Army-Navy games over the course of time. They're unbelievable, man. The pageantry that's involved with all of them and all the kind of on-campus activities and the marching of the, you know, the cadets and whatnot before the game. And it's just really, really awesome. So I think that's a cool backup plan right now for the Notre Dame Navy game. Not as cool as Dublin, obviously, but man, for the first time in 94 years, they're actually going to play that game on campus.
I didn't realize it was the capital of Maryland as well. So that's nice. Good to go see the capital.
2012 was the last time they played. These two played in Ireland.
2012. So it was, yeah.
Chesapeake Bay, just a jaunt down the street from Cheddar Bay, I believe.
Very, very beautiful campus.
Home of the Cheddar Biscuit.
That is
true.
Cheddar Bay Biscuit. I'm sure Billy Coons got some of those yesterday at the RL.
Did he RL the fisherman's yesterday?
Platter. He RL'd yesterday. Yeah. Oh. I asked him if the lobster was ready. He said he didn't have the lobster. So.
No, he goes with the seafood platter. The
fisherman's platter.
For the seafood lover in you.
And you.
Plucked right out of the sea in Oklahoma.
That's right. It's indigenous. Yeah, the shrimp are local.
Danny Duffy was first up on the Royals 5-year reunion. We're doing it each and every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30. We'll catch up with a member of the 2015 Royals and discuss that fantastic run. What we found out in our interview with Duffy, he missed a lot, including that remarkable comeback in Houston. Yep, he didn't see it. Why? Well, superstition.
I mean, CY actually locked me in the bathroom that game. I went into the bathroom and we started hitting, and CY came over. He didn't lock me, but I tried to come out, and he said, "Get back in that bathroom." And six runs later, I didn't know what the hell was going on. And they said it's okay to come out now. And all of a sudden, we got a one-run lead.
Whoa. Hang on a second. You missed the entire eighth inning of game four?
Didn't get to see it. Didn't get to see a single pitch.
So you went in
there. I went in there to use the bathroom, and we started hitting. And I think we had like two straight singles or something.
Yes, they were.
And I poked my head. I poked my head out to see who's like warming up, and CY said, "Get back in there." I was like, "Oh, okay." Same seat, same thoughts. You know, keep the vibes kind of alive. And dude, I was in there for like 20 minutes. I didn't see anything, and all I'm hearing like I'd imagine it was the error up the middle. When Tony Sipp was pitching, where I heard like the crowd completely like, ooh, and I didn't know what was going on. So, you know, I came out and all was good. We had a lead, and then Haas hit a mammoth shot in the next inning, and the rest is kind of history.
So have you gone back and watched that inning at all, or are you just like good? Okay.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, the classic Johnny Gomes holding up six fingers. Yeah. No, dude, I've seen it all, and I've heard plenty about how awesome the live experience was, but unfortunately I'll never get to live that moment. So
wow. Is that something like you regret, or is that like, hey, that's part of baseball, and if I got to stay in the bathroom, dude,
No, I respect my vet, dude, and CY says something, and that's the word, and I'm gonna abide. So I wouldn't change it for the world, man, and it probably helped.
You watch it later.
You ever been locked in a bathroom before?
The greatest.
You just go with a dude abides on that one too. That's good.
Come the greatest comeback, and you know
he did. He did. Yeah, he did actually. Didn't he?
Playoff history and just superstition, man. Stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. When it was going good, I don't have a problem with that at all. So that led us to ask Duffy: did he miss any other moments? And he really needs today in Royals history with Kurt Nelson, doesn't he? Did he miss any other moments during the run?
I had just gotten done pitching in game one in the seventh. I gave a cookie to Curtis Granderson, and Ned rightfully took me out, and they brought in Kel, and then they brought in Wade, and then Wade came into the clubhouse, and we're sitting there on the floor on the field side of the clubhouse watching the game, and then Salvi gets out. And then Gordo hits the bomb. And then the laundry cart went flying across the room. And I must have thrown it 30 feet. And me and Wade were just wigging out. But I didn't get to see that moment, obviously, out in the dugout. But little memories like that, it was really, really cool. It's just surreal to even think about.
Did you see Kane score from first in game 6 against Toronto?
I did.
Oh, good.
I did. I was out in the bullpen. So that was cool. That was an electric moment. I mean, when that pop up slide, he must have jumped 50 inches into the air too.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that, dude. It was cool. But it's something we got to rekindle in KC, and I'm not just saying that, just to say it, dude. I mean, you could be on memory lane as much as you want, and I appreciate it all. But you can't get my buddy says it best. He says you can't get a flat tire going down memory lane.
That is true.
So,
yeah.
I love talking about it, dude. I really do. I love reliving those moments. It just makes you want to do it again.
There's Danny Duffy. Wants to do it again with the Royals, obviously, and we took him down memory lane. But he's kind of thinking about like, what can we do to get it again here in Kansas City?
Right,
pretty cool.
And he took us down a memory lane that we don't think we would ever go down. Like, you missed everything, man. We were kind of like reliving it for you because you didn't get to really experience that because of superstition. And so whatever it is, man, baseball is the ultimate superstitious game. And so if you have to stay in the bathroom because your team is hitting, then you got to stay in the bathroom.
What's not for long? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
The Danny Duffy interview is up now, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. You can check out everything you may have missed, any show, anytime, the on-demand section. 610sports.com and free, always free on the radio.com app.
Free?
Free, I say.
How are we staying in business?
That's right. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, now with the CBS Sports, on the drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio. A number of years ago, Bob, when we were talking about conference realignment, I remember asking Lou Perkins, what is long-term?
Yes, and it's kind of stuck with me forever.
What is long term anyway? Because everybody talks about long term in sports, and I kind of deemed it 5 years or less right now in sports.
Oh,
right?
I think 3 years is probably long term.
Probably
now.
Closer to three. Like five is like the optimistic side. Three for sure. But Joel Corey telling the guys in the drive he doesn't see Chris Jones being in KC for long.
I've always been skeptical about Chris Jones being a long-term Kansas City Chief. How are you going to have the highest-paid quarterback in the league and $220 million for your pass rushers? I've always thought as soon as they paid Frank Clark that Chris Jones was never getting a long-term deal. To make matters worse for Kansas City, DeForest Buckner, it probably in Chris Jones's mind, set a floor. And that guy signed for $21 million per year, almost $60 million guarantees, close to $40 fully guaranteed at signing. So the average is a little more than Frank Clark. And then Frank Clark was like at 62 in guarantees and like 41 fully guaranteed in signing. So you're going to have to be above at least Frank Clark, at least to me. That's what I'd have been looking for last year. And then you had DeForest Buckner just confirming that's where the market should be for me if I'm representing Chris Jones.
But the question to me still is, what is long term? If long term is 3 years, cool. Like, I don't know that I want a lot of players pass, like, if you're on to your second contract and I get 3 years on your second contract, cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind
of. That's 8 years, basically, 7 or 8 years for a player.
Kind of at the end.
I don't need much more than that.
If long term, if he won't be here long term is 3 years, I'm cool. If he won't be here long term means we still got to move him, like, soon, then I'm like, oh, darn. I would like to see Chris Jones around for a while, but maybe you work out something, even though the Mahomes contract is coming, where in the first few years of the contract, you also have some wiggle room for a Chris Jones, right?
Yeah, maybe.
And then you can structure that they kind of coincide a little bit when Chris Jones expires, then, you know, you're getting some of the Pat markup, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see how they can work hand in hand. The Chiefs have always been confident that they can get both done.
I've not heard otherwise. You know, everything that I've heard and from the people that I've spoken to, I've never heard
May
once.
May take some creativity, but it sounds and especially because he wasn't moved before the draft, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's getting traded.
Once you got past that point, I'm like, okay, you're sticking with it. You're committed to him. So now what? Because we know that playing under the franchise tag isn't very common right now, right?
Right. No, it's almost like a badge of not on.
Right.
You know?
So it's almost a kind of an unworkable situation at times. So do they get to that point? I hope not. Do they get to something, you know, in the 3-year window? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I think that's long term enough for me right now.
Well, I think 3 years to 4 years is about max as I would go on anybody. That includes Patrick Mahomes right now, and we'll get to him in just a minute. But I think when you're talking long term, defining what long term is. Long term is no longer 10 years. It's no longer really 5 years. I think in the NFL, you're looking 3 to 4 years as long term. I mean, that's essentially all coaches have, Josh. If you don't win in your first 3 or 4 years, you're out anyway. And so I think that's what you have to first decide what long-term is, because long-term to Joel Corey, long-term to you, long-term to me, may be different for all three of us. I think also, too, you have to realize that the salary cap may take a hit next year. It may be a little bit lower than it is now based on COVID-19. But I also don't think you can sit here and compare what Chris Jones should make to what Frank Clark makes or to what DeForest Buckner's making right now, because I think we got kind of lost in the mix all of a sudden in the NFL specifically, where if you're a quarterback and I'm a quarterback and you sign first, then I automatically have to sign for more money than you do. Like, there's some unwritten rule right now that I'm not going to take less than you just took. There's no way. Or vice versa. If you sign after me, there's no way you're taking less than I am. And so I just don't think that needs to be the game plan for everybody involved. But what I think could hurt the Chiefs...
Doesn't need to be, but isn't that human nature? You see Frank Clark over there, I want to make more than him.
Well, yeah.
Next to the contract. You've seen the latest contract for your position, and you're like, I want to make more than that guy.
Right.
I'm not gonna take away from that. I think that's pretty natural.
But I think it's human nature, but human nature doesn't always get results. I mean, you're looking at something that may be how you feel, but the organization isn't willing to do this. But what I think
Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes both have contracts that could be signed this offseason. I think it's only natural that Patrick Mahomes probably is going to get more than Dak.
Well, he should. Right. He's a better player than Dak Prescott. There's no question about that. And I think when you look at, you know, the contract potentially being signed by Chris Jones, and what could hurt Chris Jones ultimately, or not hurt Chris Jones, but hurt the Chiefs in this, has been COVID-19. Because I think the further we get away from February 3rd, the further we get away from February 5th, the further we get away from the end of the season where Jones is around his teammates, around Kansas City, falling in love with everybody and talking about, you know, a repeat, the less and less attachment that he truly has to the organization. So I think being away could hurt the Chiefs' chances, where Chris Jones just decides, you know what, I may sign this franchise tag. Maybe I'll hold out. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I think being here and being immersed with everybody every day maybe would have given Chris Jones kind of the ammo to go to his agents and say, speed this thing up a little bit. I want to get signed. I'm Jones in the sign of contract, no pun intended.
Absolutely,
here
pun intended.
In Kansas City. And so – hopefully him being away doesn't hurt the Chiefs and impact the Chiefs, where Chris Jones kind of falls, I don't want to say out of love, but, you know, the further you're away from something, the less and less of an attachment that you truly have.
Maybe that's why the Chiefs are waiting till everybody was back
yeah.
to start talks again.
And
we're to get him back around his teammates, and, you know, he'll really want to be here.
That's right.
Although he could hold out and you not see him anyway. We'll
right.
see.
You don't know.
Joel Corey had an interesting take on the Mahomes deal. And the timing of that, he thinks a deal can be done before or right at the beginning of training camp.
I suspect it'll be before the fifth day of training camp because he has a fifth day of training camp roster bonus for almost $2 million. And if that date passes, you can't prorate that $2 million. And then that's going to make it harder to work with his cap number this year, because you could take that almost $2 million, convert that into signing bonus, leave him with a minimum base salary, and that right there would make up about $10 million in signing bonus. Once that date passes, you can't do that with that money. So I kind of look at that as a date, just based on how his contract is structured.
Something only an agent would see, and again, a little mathy for us. But fifth day of training camp, a bonus kicks in. Question does remain, what will be the fifth day of training camp, right?
Yes.
If the NFL intends to go on as scheduled, it'll be right around the same time, but we don't know that.
Right.
So that day could be floating right now, which could, I guess, allow you to continue to buy yourself time.
Yeah, absolutely, and see ultimately where it goes. But if there
you don't
truly
know the fifth day of camp until you set camp, so.
Right? But I don't think camp's going to be affected. I really don't think much more going forward is going to be affected.
So
which
would place it around the end of July,
beginning of August, depending on what that first technical. Now, does camp start when Patrick shows up with quarterbacks and guys in the first 3 days, or I'm more concerned about the fifth day of camp being his fifth day of camp or the fifth day of team.
That's a good question.
You know, because the quarterbacks always come in a couple of days early. They do kind of that walkthrough stuff.
His fifth day of camp could be the second day of everybody camp.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
That's the big question.
So I think it's probably Pat's fifth day. Would be my guess.
I would have gone the other way.
I would say he puts in 5 days and then a bonus kicks in.
Yeah, I would have said the absolute other way that you said right now. I would have said the fifth team.
That's why we're not negotiating these things.
I'm sure there's an intern that knows.
Joe Corey may know this thing. He pointed out the fifth day thing, which I thought was interesting. Well, you know, I'm looking at the fifth day as a deadline. Well, we all need deadlines, so the fifth day of camp. Okay,
right.
Fifth day of camp it is. We'll see. We'll see what that date ends up being, but certainly, and then he's also looking at the $40 million range for Patrick Mahomes, and said if he pushed it, could he get to 45? And then he said, how much of his hammer does he want to use? Which I thought was an interesting kind of he's got some leverage here. How much does he want to push things with the Chiefs and really kind of demand and get
it as the hammer?
Well, he's able to put the hammer down, man. He's got the opportunity here, and he's got the ability to. He basically can dictate everything. If he says, "Guys, you know what? Don't give me as much. Let's make sure we get everybody
about
else signed."
Two different things here.
Oh, I had no idea. But he has the ability, kind of pulling all the strings, if you will, Josh, to say, you know what? Let's get this done at this amount because I want to be able to pay these guys. You can do that. I think Pat Mahomes holds a lot more cards in this whole roster building than we even know.
That Pat does?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he defers money.
It depends on if he uses all the hammer.
You know, if he's like Bobby Bonilla, you know, and 20 years later after he's done playing, they're still paying
him.
Like
if he decides to use the rock hammer that they used in Shawshank.
Right.
That leaves more of a hammer for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how that works? Something like that?
That's exactly right. Leave some for the others.
I thought Andy had ground that down to a nub. Is that?
He did once he got out.
So
he used all of his hammer.
He did. He used all the hammer.
A lot of time in jail, man. It takes a while.
Ground the tip down.
Some weird hammer references. If you missed the Royals' reunion debut with Danny Duffy, check that out. The On Demand section, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. And again, Thursday at 8:30, our next installment of the 5-year reunion. We'll do it Tuesdays and Thursdays throughout the month. Catching up with members of the 2015 Royals.
Never go half hammer. I think that's the lesson
that's
here.
That's right.
That is the lesson for all.
Always go full hammer.
That's all we got for you. Cody and Gold, coming your way next. You're on 610 Sports.
We're done.
And
talk to you later.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.